helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel. People say that hindsight is 20/20, and I have to tell you, my experience shows that to be true. It's one of the reasons why I was so cautious yesterday when I was talking about the Nashville Christian School shooting. Now, as more information comes to light, I want to take some time and see what we can learn, what we can learn from the information, at least so far. I want to know what I think it means, and really, what should all of us constitutionally minded Americans take away from this incident and from the reactions to it. It's also be a good time to take a look at those who are making political hay from this tragedy. Now, since the world did not end with the Nashville shooting, I also want to take a look today at some other examples of, well, government malfeasance and show again why you should not trust someone simply because they hold a government job or receive a government paycheck. Hello there, everyday Americans. Paul Engel here with the Constitution Study. This, ladies and gentlemen, is where we read and study the Constitution. It's where we teach the rising generation to be free. And hopefully today we'll learn not only that we need to be free, but why we need to be free and why we need to be sometimes a little more circumspect when events happen. It's easy to jump in. It's easy to take your preconceived notions and make certain assumptions. And I've seen a lot of people doing that. As I said, I live in the Nashville area. So this tragedy is fairly close to home, and I still hold in my hearts and prayers the poor families that have to deal with the aftermath, the families of the dead, the families of the people who worked there, of the officers that were forced to take this woman's life. There's going to be aftermath, and I do feel for them. And listen, they don't know me. I don't know them. But I want to put this out there. If someone needs someone to talk to, if you've got no one else to talk to help process this, contact me through the website. As I said, I live in the Nashville area. I would be more than willing to sit down and over a cup of coffee and talk. Nothing to do with the radio program, nothing to do with the website, just two human beings trying to process a tragedy. I don't know if that would help, but at this point, this is all I can think to do in the face of such a situation. You know, we talk about, I frequently talk about here, you know, it's not the people that stand up for what's right. It's the people that come to their support. And I think we need to do that. So if you happen to know directly or indirectly anybody involved in this, the father of the lady who committed this crime, offer to talk with them. Not about politics, not about anything. Just listen to what they had to say. You know, I like to take the example of the book of Job. Unlike a lot of people, I actually like the book of Job, especially in the beginning when Job's three friends show up, take one look at him, and spend an entire week silently sitting with him. They didn't talk to him. They didn't try to convince him everything was going to be okay. The Bible says that they sat there for 7 days silent. Maybe that's what these people need, is just someone to sit there and let them know they're not alone. So if you can do that, I highly encourage it. If anyone out there needs somebody, contact me through the website. I will do that. I will sit with you. If all you want is someone to quietly sit by, maybe with a cup of coffee, and just be there. If you want someone to maybe give some perspective or point of, I will do that. What do you need to help get through this situation? I think that needs to be our first focus, are the victims, not the political agendas. Now, since I recorded yesterday's episode, some more information has come to light, information that I've gotten that I think it's important. Now, one of the things, I still refuse to use the shooter's, the murderer's name. I'm trying to not refer to her as a shooter. This wasn't a mass shooting. This is a mass murder. The focus on murder. This person intentionally went into a school to shoot, to kill people. That is mass murder. The fact that she used a gun to me is not the primary issue, although I know that is for several others. We know that three adults and three children of the age of 9 were murdered by this person. I've seen several people make a point of the fact that this was a Christian school, although to date, I have not seen any evidence that this person was motivated by animus to Christianity specifically or religion in general. She did used to go to this school. Maybe she was some animosity. We don't know, at least not yet. That's why I said hindsight is 20/20. I don't want to get beyond what we know for sure. Now, according to the Metro Nashville Police Department's chief, John Drake, get the name right, this was apparently a planned attack. The perpetrator had surveilled the school, had detailed maps noting entry points on to the building. This is not just a random, hey, I'm walking by and I'm going to start shooting. The police believe that the shooter entered the building, the murderer entered the building by shooting through one of the doors. After the previous shootings, many schools have a policy of locking the perimeter doors. Many of them, though, are glass, and the murderer was able to shoot through them. That's what we're hearing so far. Now, it appears that the murderer chose victims at random. Was not seeking out any specific individual or group of individuals, did apparently leave behind a manifesto, which the police are looking at and as of yet have not released to the public. They have interviewed the murderer's father, they believe that she was prepared to do more harm than was actually done. And that, to me, is an interesting point. This could have been, as tragic as this is, this could have been worse. There's some saying that this murderer had actually planned to attack a local mall, but decided against it because there was too much security. They believe, you know, this person went after the school thinking there would be less security. Now, why is this important? Well, the Nashville police have released body cam footage. I've watched the body cam footage of two officers. Now, I am not a police tactics expert. I've done some self-defense training. I'm familiar with the weapons. Listen, I'm not going to Monday morning quarterback what they did. Some things I saw, they worked very, very well. Some things maybe not so much. But I'll tell you what I did notice. They did not hesitate to enter the premises and engage the murderer. The first video I saw, an officer arrived. He's hearing details on the radio. He arrives. He goes to the trunk of his vehicle. He pulls out an AR-15. Oh yeah, he was using an AR-15. That terribly awful weapon. I mean, the one that we have to get rid of. No, the police use them. There was one person already there. He called a third person in. And as soon as he was demanding, come on, three of us, we're going in. And they went in. Now, why three? From what I've seen, it's how they clear the rooms. You have two people, if you've got a room to enter, two people make entry. They cover the room. One person covers their back. Once they've cleared the room, they get back together and they move forward. That was what I saw. But I saw they didn't pause. They didn't wait to create a perimeter. They didn't wait for supervisors to show up and authorize. They went in. And when they heard gunshots, they ran to the gunshots. I don't know anything about these officers, but in my mind, they're heroes. I believe they're, I couldn't tell from the video. Most of them sounded like men from the voices I could hear. They went in and they ran toward the gunshots. What more could you ask? Now, why is this so important? Well, let's go back to the assumption. This person was prepared to do much, much more damage, to kill many, many more people. She was armed with a handgun. an AR-15 rifle, and an AR-15 pistol. For those of you who may not be familiar with it, it's an AR-15 without a buttstock, and it's designed to be operated one-handed. That's a fair amount that in itself means there's a lot more rounds than that could have been fired off, not including any extra magazines that she may have had with her. So she was prepared to do more damage. I know, 6 people dead, 3 of them children, is a tragedy. But then again, what if it had been 15 or 20? What if 30, 40, 50 children had died? It'd have been a much worse tragedy. And I know a lot of people look at this and saying, see, it was that terrible, awful AR-15. You know, we have to get rid of them because that was the problem. She had a handgun with her. By the way, according to reports, she legally obtained all of these weapons. Even though there were medical professionals concerned about her mental health, and that law enforcement was never made aware of any suicidal or homicidal concerns regarding this individual. Now, there's more about that coming up, but I want you to notice you have law enforcement showing up with AR-15s and handguns. All right, they weren't carrying AR-15 pistols, but they had AR-15s, they had handguns. This lady had AR-15s, she had handguns. I keep calling it, the difference is not the weapon. The difference is the mindset of the person wielding the weapon. So what can those of us who are constitutionally minded learn from what we've exposed so far? Well, here's what I see. And again, to me, the problem never was the guns. I've lived around guns my entire life. I cannot think of a time in my life when I wasn't around guns. My father had them when I was a child. I've had them, you know, when I became an adult and moved out on my own, I've had guns. And I've never, you know what, none of my guns has ever hurt another human being. Come to think of it, I don't think my guns have hurt anything more, you know, more dangerous than a squirrel or a rabid skunk. Although I did have to use one once to defend myself from a bear, a mama bear with 2 cubs. Thankfully, I didn't have to injure her. I just had to scare her. But it's not the guns. See, we're learning more about this murderer. This murderer had issues. This murderer had murderous intent. This murderer expected to die. And the people who saved the day were the people with guns. But I have to wonder, from what I've seen, from the time the police arrived on site to the time the murderer was down, was about 12 minutes. From the time that the 911 call was made to the first officer arriving was only a couple of minutes. I don't know how long it took them to prepare and to make entry, but I want you to consider this. How much of that time would have been saved if there were already armed personnel in the school? In fact, I'd love to see armed, trained personnel in the school. Would it have made a difference? We'll never know. Would it have reduced the body count? We will never know. But for everybody that is worried about the vaunted AR-15, remember, the lives of the children, the faculty and the administration of that school were saved by men with AR-15s. Yes, they happened to wear badges. Yes, they happened to get a government paycheck. But that is the only difference between them and, well, say someone like me who owns guns, who owns an AR-15, is it really that different if I were to have a badge rather than simply being prepared to defend myself? Because recognize, that is a gun-free zone. If I were visiting that school for some reason, let's say they had me in to do a presentation on the Constitution. By law, I would have to have removed, I would not be able to bring my guns with me. I would have been just as defenseless as those children and those teachers. I wonder how many people in that school, how many adults in that school would have been armed if the law allowed. Now, I have to take a break. I have some other things I want to talk to you about, but I need to get this break in. Before I go, though, you know, I'd love it if you head over to the website constitutionstudy.com. That's the homepage for everything Constitution Study. You can find articles, videos. Most of all, you can ask a question. If you have a topic you'd like me to cover, if you have a comment you want to make, if you have something you want me to investigate, you just have a question you want me to ask, go to the website, constitutionstudy.com, click Ask a Question, hit the checkbox that says you want me to answer it on the radio. I'll do my best to do so. Now, while you're browsing around, do me a favor. Take a look at Healthy Cell. They are a leading innovator in supplements that work at the cellular level. They've got a lot of great products, many of them I use, but today I want to talk about a product called Focus and Recall. So I don't know about you, I get to the end of a long day and, all right, I have a hard time focusing. Most of us, I think, do. And many people I know will reach for the energy drink or the cup of coffee, and, well, that's great, except you're often dealing with a lot of caffeine and sugar, which doesn't always have the best long-term reactions. Well, Focus and Recall are vitamins. Simple supplements. They are designed to boost your short-term focus and your long-term brain power, all without the jitters or the comedown of caffeine and sugar. Now, as an America Out Loud listener, you can get 25% off your first order of Focus and Recall or anything from Healthy Cell if you use the code OUTLOUD at checkout. So please, go to HealthyCell.com, put your cart together, try some Focus and Recall, but use that code OUTLOUD at checkout. It lets them know you listen to America Out Loud, and as a thank you, you get 25% off your first order.
Let's get real, let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio. And I'm Dr. Peter McCullough. I have to tell you that I think one of the biggest advances in nutraceuticals and supplements is Healthy Cell. And the Healthy Cell line is extensive. I typically focus on the microgel technology, three major products here, Immune Super Boost, the Focus and Recall, and then the REM Sleep Supplement. Each one of these is complementary, and they can have a role, I think, in the health of your life each and every day. I know they do in my case. Many of you know, after COVID-19 twice, I spent almost the entire year in 2022 with an upper respiratory tract illness. Now, thankfully, I'm through the first 2 months of 2023, and I've been diligent with the Immune Super Boost in the morning, followed by Focus and Energy, and then in the evening time, the REM Sleep Supplement. The microgel technology works, and boy, does it work fast. So go to our website, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Find the banner bar for Healthy Cell, click on it, and that'll take you to the site to get a discount on your purchase of all Healthy Cell products. So let's get real, let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Trouble concentrating or recalling information is frustrating, embarrassing, and kills productivity. Nutrition company Healthy Cell created Focus and Recall to boost your brain power. Unlike other supplements that don't work, Focus and Recall is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra absorption of science-backed ingredients to help you immediately sharpen focus, concentrate longer, and strengthen recall. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order, risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code out loud.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. Yes, this is where we read and study the Constitution. We teach a rising generation to be free. We try to learn a little bit from our past. In this case, we're looking at the recent past, the recent shooting at the Christian school in Nashville, Tennessee. One of the things that we've learned about the murderer was that she had some mental health issues. I don't know any of the details, but I do know two things. I know that she sent text messages before she committed this atrocity. She apparently posted, may have been on you know, one of the social medias, to a friend of hers saying that... So basically that post I made on here about you, that was basically a suicide note. I'm planning to die today. She said, this is not a joke. You'll probably hear about me on the news after I die. So we do have at least suicidal ideation. There's more. I don't want to get into it, but I want to point out from what I've seen so far, none of these text messages describes a murderous intent, that she was going to go out in a blaze of glory, only that she was suicidal. And that's kind of interesting because, as I've already pointed out, she obtained the firearms legally, meaning she went through a background check. Now, I don't know what level, you know, I've read that she was that she had mental health issues. Apparently, there are reports that medical professionals were concerned about her mental health. That apparently was not enough for her to actually be adjudicated as potentially dangerous to prevent her from passing a background check. No one notified the police, which could have led to a confiscation of weapons. In other words, there were things going on that there are other parts of the system that failed. Like so many things, it wasn't one situation. It wasn't one thing that led to this. There's a lot going on. Now, to everyone that kind of jumped on this mental disorder, she was being treated for a mental disorder as a reasoning behind this. There are a lot of people that have mental disorders that do not lead them to mass murder. There are many people that go through bouts of depression and other issues that do not lead them to this, to such horrendous actions. So to me, this is another piece in a puzzle. It's not meant to say, this is what was wrong. It was to say, look at all the things that came together that brought this situation about. You have a person with some sort of mental issue, with other concerns, and decided to take them out on a school for a reason we still don't know yet. People were focusing on how she acquired the firearms. The police chief said, listen, we don't even know who this person was yet. We're still putting that together, whether or not it would have impacted or should have impacted her ability to acquire firearms. Was she adjudicated mentally deficient or a danger to society? No. To my knowledge, there's been no place where she's gone through due process and been found to be a danger to deprive her of the right to keep and bear arms. Now, as I talked about yesterday, there are those who, let's just say they have a different point of view. Now, one of them was Representative Steve Cohen of Tennessee, he was on MSNBC where, let's just start out with what I'll call a loaded question.
Yeah, we just saw Andrew Clyde from Georgia, who was distributing those AR-15 pins, those rifle pins, that's him again, to a lot of members who were wearing them on the House floor, including George Santos of New York and Anna Paulina Luna of Florida. They were wearing them right here, you can see. I don't understand what might make you rethink your position if it's not going to be dead kids.
Now, to me, that she might as well be asking, when did you stop beating your wife? See, these people that she's talking about, members of the House, they handed out AR-15 pins. Might I remind her? It was an AR-15 that stopped the threat at the school. It's not the person, it's not the weapon, it's the mindset of the person carrying it. It's not whether that person's law enforcement or not. It's not whether or not that person has a badge or not, or gets a government paycheck or not. But you see, in their mind, that's all that matters. They have no problems, apparently, with AR-15s in the hands of law enforcement, of government actors, of all the federal bureaucracies. They just don't want it in the hands of individual people. My question still stands. If there had been armed people there, armed civilians, armed citizens there, could this have been stopped sooner before more people died? Because, you know, an AR-15 and a handgun prevented this from being worse. Could it have been better? Could we have done more? But, oh, give up your rights because of dead kids. Again, the AR-15, well, in their mind, the AR-15 is the fault because apparently everybody is fine. If this disturbed young woman had walked in with a bomb, they wouldn't have a problem. If she'd walked with a knife or a sword or just decided at recess to drive her car through the playground, then we'd be talking about this person's mental health. But because she used a firearm, and because some of those firearms were AR-15s, we have this ridiculous, what's going to get us to stop instead of dead kids? I come back to, well, if this person was truly mentally disturbed, which you kind of have to be, what are we doing about that? She legally bought these firearms. That means she went through a background check. Why did she not fail the background check? Because there was no evidence beforehand that she was going to be a mass murderer. And in their ridiculous hindsight, they think, oh, see, if we had just prevented someone from getting an AR-15, everything would have been fine. I'm sorry, that's ridiculous. But to me, even worse was the response of Representative Cohen.
Dead kids didn't work in Newtown. Dead kids didn't work in Sandy Hook. Dead kids didn't really work in Uvalde.
All right, let me ask you, dead kids didn't work for what? For banning legal firearms? See, to me, Uvalde taught us something great. The law enforcement, when they showed up, they didn't set up a perimeter and wait. They didn't prevent parents from going in and saving their children. They went in directly. So we did learn something from Uvalde. But he goes on.
The NRA works. Their political power, their money that they make, gun manufacturers' money, and that's what pushes the NRA.
Once again, we see the political lie. This is a political lie. For those of you who don't know, the NRA does not represent gun manufacturers. It does not. It represents gun owners who voluntarily come together and donate their money to the NRA to help protect their rights. They also use it for wonderful things like gun safety education programs and making sure we have places, you know, ranges where we can shoot and places where we can hunt. But we have the big, bad, evil NRA. We have to throw something in on that as well. And what about all the money from Newtown and Brady and all these sources trying to deprive people of a right? He doesn't seem to have a problem with that. Only people who oppose him.
It's horrific to think that the Congress people won't adjust their thinking and do anything better than thoughts and prayers. I mean, that's what we've heard from people is praying. You know, that's fine. But you got to do more than prayer. You got to get guns out of these people's hands and out of their access. And you're not going to stop all the killings, but you'll stop some of them. And it's just a matter of we don't need more assault weapons. We don't need more high-capacity magazines. We've got to have these red flag laws everywhere. Because if there's a red flag out there, we need to take it and check these people out. That's another way to stop them.
I'm sorry, Representative, but to me it's horrific that you would exploit a tragedy like this for a political means, for political motives. Again, you're blaming the weapon for the actions of a evil person. You say, we don't need more assault weapons. Says who? See, it's called a Bill of Rights, sir, not a Bill of Needs. You ignore all the times AR-15s are used to defend life, not just here in this shooting. Remember, there was, in Texas, there was a shooting at a church that was stopped when a neighbor with an AR-15 put an end to it. I'm sorry, sir. You talk about large capacity magazines. Magazine size didn't make a difference here. You talk about red flag laws. Oh, you want to take rights away from people. Sir, there were red flags here. This person had was dealing with medical professionals that recognized a mental issue. They apparently not serious enough to inform the police. But you're promoting an agenda, and the fact that you will refuse to learn that from what's actually going on. All you see are the words AR-15, and you go off. But if you look at the facts, you look at the details, it was an AR-15 that saved the lives of the rest of the students. It was, and the fact that it was carried by a police officer really shouldn't matter. if it was a teacher or an administrator that had had been some training and was willing to defend their children, we should be praising the AR-15. I find this reprehensible.
Right now in Congress, it's pathetic. It's hard for me to serve up there now with some of the people that I have to serve with. I mean, they're part of the danger. I mean, they could go. I'm not going to get into that, but it's just that they are so attached to guns, and there's no hope on them.
You know what really bothers me? Here it is. He has a hard time working with people he disagrees with. They're so attached to guns. You, sir, are so attached to denying American citizens a right protected by the Constitution. Not surprised. This gentleman, and I use that term in only the most ironic of senses, does not represent me. His district is out near Memphis. But here we have, let's use this opportunity. Let's just take away people's guns. Let's take away guns that they use every day for legal means because some person used it for illegal means. Let's punish the innocent for the acts of the guilty. That, sir, is disgusting. It's a violation of your oath of office. If you truly believe that these weapons are dangerous and people shouldn't be allowed to have them, where is your constitutional amendment to rescind or modify the Second Amendment? Where is it, sir? At least then you'd be honest. This is nothing but political grandstanding. Now, again, we disagree and we're allowed to disagree. But to use your position to say you have a hard time working with others because they disagree with you, when you lie about the source of the funding, when you lie about the blame for this, you keep blaming the stupid inanimate object. And you're so willing to take these rights away from people. What if we pass a red flag law for being stupid in Congress? There's a red flag right there, being stupid in Congress. You just violated your oath. You don't want to, you ignore the supreme law of the land. What if we had a red flag for that? You could be thrown out of Congress. Well, that's just, you're talking about taking away our rights. My right to use the best tool possible to defend my family. You know, I mentioned before that what if I had been in this school giving some sort of presentation or meeting somebody? I would have been disarmed and unable to defend myself or others. And I want to mention something. This is not just me talking. See, in our church, I head up our security team. I think about what would happen. Now, granted, I'm focusing more on things like medical issues, storms, but I'm also thinking about what happens if. See, we've had people attacking churches. What happens if? You're telling me that as someone concerned with security in our church, as a preacher in our church, I should not be allowed to have a tool that I could use to defend myself, my family, and my fellow congregants because you don't like it. Sir, you can take that and stuff it. Because I believe if you are truly worried about the safety of these children, you'd be focusing on the mental health issue. Once again, we find that these mass murderers have mental health issues. Now, what is the proper solution to it? I don't know. We should debate it. But rather than punishing everyone else, the millions of Americans that own these weapons and have them day in, day out, use them for legal means and never hurt anybody, rather than punishing them, why don't we find out what happened here? And find out, first, was there a way that this could have been prevented? Did something break down in letting authorities know that this person was a potential danger and should be looked at? Did that break down? Second of all, he even admitted it. You're not going to stop all shootings. So rather than taking away a tool to protect yourself and your family and your friends and your neighbors and these school children, why don't we make sure we have people that are trained to actually use them to, defend them? He talks about people in Congress clinging to their guns. They're clinging to their defense. You, sir, are clinging to tyranny because you want, it appears that in your mind, the only people that should have guns are the government. That's not a constitutional republic, sir. That's not freedom and liberty, sir. That's how you have a tyranny. When only government actors have guns, liberty disappears. See, this is what happens when we don't learn from what actually happened, but we only learn within our sphere of preferred responses. When we live in a bubble where guns are only used to hurt people and we ignore all the times that guns are used to save people, including, ladies and gentlemen, AR-15s and AK-47s. When all we have is our talking points and any opportunity to bring them up is, well, it's an opportunity and it's taken advantage of. Now, I'm done with the Nashville shooting, at least for today. I've got some other reasons why you can't trust government. You can't trust people in government, and you really shouldn't trust them, the bureaucracy as a whole, but I have to take a break. Before I do go, I want you to check out AmericaOutloud.com. In fact, I stop there daily to find out what's going on. I get news and stories and articles and podcasts, all these things every day. And I recommend you go there as well. But don't just read them. Reading them is great, but share them. Look at these as resources. Look at these as examples of what you can do and then share them. And it's by sharing this information, by sharing the counterpoints to the politicians like Representative Cohen, that we secure our blessings of liberty.
Whether you're an independent, a Democrat, or a Republican, one thing remains true. Airborne viruses love us equally. You've all heard Malcolm and the great Dr. Peter McCullough talk about the advanced nasal solution Cofix RX. Cofix is made in the USA and recommended by thousands of doctors and pharmacists nationwide. Did you know that doctors and nurses have been swabbing their noses with povidone iodine to protect from airborne threats like colds, flus, and pandemic-era strains for decades? Cofix RX took that idea and made a more complete nasal formula with lasting cleansing effects. Maybe you're traveling soon or going to an event. Are you concerned somebody nearby might be sick? Maybe the office or classroom stresses you out. Get yourself a bottle of Cofix RX nasal solution. Spray goodbye to colds and flus with a Cofix RX Nasal Solution Cleanse. That's COFIXRX.com. Save 20% by using promo code OUTLOUD at COFIXRX.com.
We wouldn't go a day without washing our hands, brushing our teeth, and washing our nose. Whoa, wait, we wash our nose? Yes, the number one place where bacteria, viruses, and pollen enter the body is through the nose. So the average person breathes over 23,000 times a day. That's 23,000 opportunities for bacteria, viruses, and irritants to get into your nose and make you sick. For an extra layer of protection, wash your nose with Clear. That is Clear, X-L-E-A-R. Clear's drug-free nasal spray features xylitol, an ingredient proven to block adhesion of many nasty bacteria and viruses and effectively clean, not just rinse like a saline, but wash your nose. Clear nasal spray quickly alleviates congestion, opens your airway, and ensures your body's natural defenses are strong. Read the research studies for yourself at clear.com. That's X-L-E-A-R.com. Protect yourself from the pathogens and junk you breathe. Pick up a bottle for you and your family today.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. Okay, yes, this is Paul Engel. My blood pressure's down a little bit. I've calmed down. Nonsense like what Representative Cohen really tends to set me off. Not because we disagree, but because of the arrogance of such a one-sided argument, such a one-sided consideration. Now, as I so frequently say, this is where we read and study the Constitution, and we teach the rising generation to be free. Being free means not being dependent on others. Because, let's face it, when you're dependent on others, especially those in government, well, freedom is not at the top of the list. Well, take, for example, even the latest news that, this presidential administration wants to censor you. They don't want you seeing certain information because it makes you act in a way they don't like. There's been some emails found that take a couple of the administrators, part of the Biden administration, Robert Flaherty, he's an assistant to the president, and a Andrew Slavitt, who at the time was the top White House COVID-19 advisor, have emails showing them pressuring Meta, the company that owns Facebook and WhatsApp and whatnot, to take action to stop what they refer to as COVID misinformation. Now, according to an article I'm reading from the Epoch Times, they were concerned that this information, if true, could lead to vaccine hesitancy.
Ooh.
See, they're not so much worried that they've proved that this information is wrong. They're concerned that if it's true, well, people might not take the quote-unquote vaccine, which isn't legally a vaccine anyway. But, of course, the Biden administration has been pushing the vaccine aggressively. They even tried to push mandates to force people, to coerce people to take this untested, unproven, fraudulently approved treatment, this experimental treatment. And the fact that there might be information that, if true, could make people hesitant, well, we have to suppress that information. So according to letters, Mr. Flaherty was trying to get this information suppressed, have it not be forwarded as much. How do you suppress this information? They didn't actually talk about deleting the messages. They said, how do we keep them from spreading? Now, in a reply from executives at Meta, he says, you're right that without being able to see the content of messages on WhatsApp, we're not able to measure prevalence and related reduction of particular types of content. WhatsApp seeks to control the spread of misinformation and inform users through deliberate content-agnostic product interventions, things like labeling and limiting message forwards. Oh, so now we have the federal government pressuring a company to suppress information, and you have that company looking for ways to comply. Now, let me ask you, what good is the First Amendment if the government is allowed to ignore it? And corporations that conspire with the government to infringe on your rights are part of it. See, 18 U.S.C. 242 says, if you knowingly violate a person's right based on law, rule, regulation, or custom, that's a federal crime. What good is that if no one's going to enforce it? How can you trust? And again, the specific line, if this misinformation turns out to be true, people might be vaccine hesitant. They didn't have proof that it was misinformation. It was information that suppressed the use of vaccines, and that bothered them. And you're supposed to trust them? You're supposed to trust that they have your best interests at heart? You have to trust that what they refer to as misinformation is actually wrong? I know I don't. Here's another example, this time maybe with some good news. See, in the Texas legislature, House Bill 3999 would prohibit law enforcement agencies from using automatic license plate readers without a warrant or court order. Again, not perfect, right? Yes, you should have a warrant. Court order? Sorry. You see, this is the part that most people, we've been brainwashed into believing that it's about privacy. And of course, if you have your car out in public, well, anybody could take a picture and look at your license plate. But the Fourth Amendment doesn't say that. The Fourth Amendment says that we are to be secure from unreasonable searches, not simply from things being kept private, but from government searching without reason. That's why the idea, hey, you have to have a warrant. If this information is being collected, okay, that's one thing. But before government can go using that data, well, they need a warrant. Well, let's take an example. So let's say there is a suspect in a crime, and they're trying to track him down. Let's make it a serious crime. Let's make it a murder. And there's a suspect. The suspect was seen in a vehicle with a partial license plate. So the law enforcement goes through their records from all these automatic license plate readers looking for that vehicle, looking for vehicles that match that license plate so they can try and track things down. All I ask is that they do so with a warrant. In other words, they go to a judge, say, "Judge, we have an eyewitness. They saw this type of vehicle. They got this part of the license plate. We want to search the records from the license plate readers to see if we can track down this particular vehicle, because this person, we have probable cause to believe this person committed a serious crime. We have to find him." Constitutionally, I have no problem with that because they've gone through due process. They've come up with probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, and they're specifically stating what they are searching, license plate records, and what they are seizing, which is the records of a vehicle with a certain license plate or partial license plate. That's the way this should work. So understand that that's not how it works now. Now the law enforcement just goes through the records and, you know, without any warrant. Oh, you don't need a warrant. So I'm sure it never happened that, let's say, a disgruntled spouse or boyfriend or girlfriend never went through the license plate records to figure out where their spurned lover has gotten off to. Never happens, does it? But of course, today, that wouldn't be a crime wouldn't be a crime in Texas law. It would technically be a crime in federal law, but that's never enforced. Now, the other part of this law, which is, to me, it's also interesting, but it has to deal with how long the data is held. See, this bill would require that the data be destroyed promptly after collection, unless it is related to an ongoing investigation. So again, in this situation, they're looking for a suspect. They have a partial license plate. The license plate readers come on. They're collecting. They got your license plate, everybody's license plate. And they say, well, okay. Oh, all right, here's a license plate that matches. Everything else needs to be destroyed. The one that matches, we need that because that's part of an investigation. To me, this is the reasonable search when it comes to automatic license plate readers. Now let's head from Texas up to Maine. I've talked about this before, but there's an update. There's a gentleman who's been putting in what they call FOAA, Freedom of Access Act requests. He's put in about 100 of them across a dozen school districts looking for information about the information dealing with pornographic books, racial gender ideology, critical race theory that are in the public school curriculums. You have a parent that wants to know what's in the curriculum that his children and the other children are being taught. I'm not sure why it's 100. I'm not sure it's why it's multiple, but that's what was requested. Now, he's still waiting for that data. But there's an interesting thing that came along. See, there's one person, her name is Vicky Wallach. She is an official from the Maine School Management Association. And she's a member of the committee that reviews these requests. And she said, "Personally, I believe these requests are just another form of hate speech." Hate speech. Saying, "Hey, I want to know what's in the curriculum that our children are being taught." That's hate speech. So she was at a Right to Know advisory committee. And she added that she thinks that these are burdensome requests targeted at LGBT students. He's not asking about information about the students. He's asking about the curriculum. But because she publicly said that it's hate speech for a parent to know what their children are being taught, one member of the Maine legislature introduced an act to apparently codify the state's Freedom of Information Act to make sure that people who make requests are not hate crimes. Requesting data is not a hate crime. Now, why did we have to do this? Because this lady, this Vicky Wallach, believes it's a hate crime for a parent to know what racist, sexist, perverted information their children are being taught in a public school. I mean, imagine, if it's a hate crime, is there a criminal charge? Hello, school. I want to know about the curriculum that you're teaching our children. That's a hate crime. We're calling the police. We're reporting you. It's basically what happened to this man. He's been waiting 3 years. He's the father of twin daughters, and he's been waiting 3 years to get answers to a very, what should be a simple question. What in your curriculum is teaching these ideas? And I don't know if it's Wallach that's been holding it up or who has been holding it up, but these are supposedly public schools, meaning they work for the parents and the taxpayers. Apparently, Ms. Wallach doesn't feel she works for the parents and the taxpayers. She doesn't think this information should be made available to parents and taxpayers. That the public education, she doesn't believe it should be open and transparent. And that should scare every parent in Maine. Actually, it should scare every parent in this country. Because if you have children in these schools, or you have children that may eventually will go into the school, or if you have grandchildren that will be in these types of schools, ask yourself, what are these schools hiding from you? And how are they going to react when you finally ask for the details? So I don't know about you. This was quite an episode. A lot of emotion in it. We're still trying to process what happened in Nashville. We're still learning from what happened in Nashville. And we're still learning a lot from how people are reacting to what happened in Nashville. Again, I want to renew my pledge. I am praying for these poor families of the dead, of the administrators, of the law enforcement. And I renew my offer. If anybody needs someone to talk to, reach out through the website, constitutionstudy.com. If you just need someone to sit and listen to you vent, that's fine. You want someone that's just going to be there and be a shoulder, that's fine. If you don't have anyone else, call me. I'm in the Nashville area. I would be happy to help somebody through this. Now, this did happen at a Christian school. I happen to be a preacher. I'd be more than happy to bring that to bear if that is what the person wants. We have to stand with these people who have been hurt so badly. I think that's part of what makes a society function, is when we are concerned about others, and when we show that concern, not simply in radio programs or blog posts, but face-to-face, human-to-human. But I hope we've also seen that while the law enforcement, the government actors at the Nashville shooting did what appears to be a bang-up job, a great job. I give them praise. If the what I saw from the body cam footage, I saw officers, mostly it appears to be mostly men, that went toward the gunfire to save the lives of others. And I think that is that brings honor to them and to their profession. With all of the recent examples of failures in law enforcement at all levels, this should be an example of the good in law enforcement. Let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. Let's recognize the heroism of these men. And if there were women, they're women too. But let's also remember that, like any other bureaucracy, government, when it's shielded from consequences for bad actions, tends to commit a lot of bad actions. Yes, we talked about federal censorship, but what about state and local censorship? What about a representative that doesn't care about the Constitution? It doesn't even care that much about what actually stops violent crime. Seems more interested in getting rid of AR-15s, standard capacity magazines, and oh yeah, the wants the right for you to be to lose a right without due process. Somebody simply says, "Nope, this person's a danger. Let's rip their guns out, and let's not actually worry about them actually harming somebody. We just want to take the guns away." You know, they say that to a hammer, everything looks like a nail. Well, it appears to this representative, everything looks like a deadly gun. But let's also continue to work at our state levels to make sure that the Constitution and our state, our U.S. Constitution, our state Constitution, that they are followed, that they are applied, and that the laws match. And if the laws are not working, let's enforce the laws or let's fix the laws. But let's not ignore the laws because we aren't getting the outcome that we want. Now, I know it's easy to sit back and say, woe is me. What can I do? I can't make a difference. Washington's not going to listen to me. You're right. They're not. But locally, they'll listen to you. That's why I'm talking about Nashville. It's local to me. What's local to you? What can you do locally? Are you in Maine? Are you in Texas? Are you in any of the 50 states? Is there something you can work on to make your neighborhood, your county, your city free, or at least freer? And if you do, let me know. Again, go to the website, constitutionstudy.com. Let me know, and I'll do my best to see to get the details and the information and put it on the radio. And if you like that type of thing, well, remember, you can listen to the Constitution Study every weekday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network. Now, if you can't listen then, all the shows, all the episodes go to podcast generally a day or two after they're heard on the radio. You can find them in your favorite podcast app, but do me a favor, subscribe, rate the show, leave me a review. It helps other people find the Constitution Study as well. You can find all the links at the homepage at AmericaOutLoud.com. But I want you to participate. Don't simply be a sit-back consumer. Do your part. Share the links. Share the episodes. Share the stories. Share all this information. So by doing so, you can share the blessings of liberty.